I will be doing my very best each day to get the best out of those around me, and I take great pride in leading this country.
One minute I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is it. Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
It was a real honour to be asked to be assistant coach for Sirens. It's something I take very, very seriously, and I really hope that I can have a big impact.
I'd like to think that I'm a vital part of this team, but I'm not the team, and I understand that.
A huge thank you to the Netball Show. You really have helped England Netball take our message to new audiences.
Welcome to the Netball Show with Mizuno. Tandy here. And how do we sum up that decision to cancel the league?
Absolutely gutted.
Absolutely gutted.
Absolutely gutted.
Absolutely gutting.
On today's podcast, we'll be hearing from franchises and some of the players involved as well. And Sasha and Zara will be looking at the bigger impact.
Hi, this is Steph Collard, and you are listening to the Netball Show with Mizuno.
So we found out this week that the league will be cancelled. On this podcast, we'll get reaction to that news. As the table stands, Thunder were top with 12 points. So what did Karen Gregg think of the decision?
Absolutely gutted that the season has been declared null and void. After such a great start, seeing sellout crowds and some fantastic matches and results, it's gutting really that we can't see it through. You know, I personally think the decision may have come just a couple of weeks too early. You know, it would have been interesting to see how these other sports cope with things over the coming weeks, and if there's any way that, you know, we could have emulated something in a safe way to make something happen. You know, gutted for the fans and the players. You know, we'd got to off to a flying start, and you know, you look at it and you go, well, we were top, it got null and voided and we're top, so does that mean we win? Anyway, you know, as I said, it's gutting to not defend our title, but obviously the safety of everybody is the main thing. I'm really hoping that we can come to some kind of agreement around a competition over the autumn, because it would be fantastic to give, you know, the players something, all the hard work that has been put in over pre-season and over the start of the season, you know, and the hunger that the fans have been showing. It'd be great to give them something. So whilst I'm gutted, and I know that Thunder were fighting all the way for some kind of resolve, hopefully we can get cracking as soon as it's safe to do so, and we can give the netball world something to be excited about.
Anna Stembridge's Team Bath Netball was second.
Absolutely gutted that the decision to void the Super League has happened. Totally understand with the unprecedented times that we're facing. I think England Netball were in such a hard position, and I know they did explore lots of different options, but ultimately the health and safety of all players, staff, fans has to be the priority during these unprecedented times. We will come back bigger and better. I've got no question in my mind that the netball volunteers, administrators, coaches, players will ensure that come 2021 season, this sport will be absolutely sublime, have the support because of the contributions they've made thus far. I believe the momentum that we got from the 2018 Com Games success and also the 2019 World Cup, Home World Cup, will certainly ensure that we've got the attention from the media and the momentum that we need to ensure that we will come back bigger and better and stronger than ever. I think it's so important that people stay safe, stay connected. And finally, I just wanted to say a massive thank you to not only the Blue and Gold fans, but the England Netball fans in general. They've been absolutely amazing, and we will make sure that we come back even stronger from this. So please continue support for us and netball in general as we take stock and then prepare for the next season.
London Pulse had a really strong start to the season and were in third. Here's our director of netball, Sam Bird.
We've recognised the logistical challenges faced by our club and others in terms of being able to provide a safe and secure training venue. And whilst we're obviously devastated not to be able to continue to compete in the VNSL, I think we have to recognise that particularly in London, there's been a huge amount of deaths and losses. And you know, sport is important to us, but in the bigger picture has to take second place. Of course, it's very disappointing for us being undefeated this season and placed third in the league as it stood. and we're disappointed for our fans and our sponsors and partners. But we have to now look ahead, look to plan to become even bigger, better and stronger. We are putting a new phase of training in for our athletes called Educate, Train and Inspire, which will be a programme for all of our athletes from the VNSL right down to the hub that will run over the summer. And we'll certainly be preparing to come back and compete in October, hopefully, and to work hard and keep our players and athletes inspired to keep playing netball, keep training, keep enjoying the game we love, and we'll be back bigger, stronger than ever in the capital.
And what did our defender of the season make of the news? Here's Lindsay Keeble.
So it is absolutely gutting to hear that we're not going to have a 2020 season to finish it off this year, so I'm actually really disappointed. It's quite frustrating because, you know, Pulse have done a really good job of keeping us motivated and keeping us fit over this lockdown period, and it's just really annoying that the thing I absolutely adore and love, I won't be able to play until probably September at this rate. So yeah, really, really gutted, but obviously safety is paramount and I would definitely want people to make sure that they're happy and safe, so I totally understand their call, but it's just really, really sad that it's just not going to happen, especially because obviously Pulse were doing so well. We had a really good start to our season. We've done so much better than we had the year before. So it was gutting that we can't, but I'm sure we'll be back. We'll be much bigger, better, faster, stronger for next season. And I can't wait to come back for my 15th season in the Super League.
As it stood, Mavs were in that final four. This is what Director of Netball Kat Ratnapala told us.
Absolutely gutted is an understatement with regard to the league finishing after just three games, but I'm sure it was a really, really hard decision for England Netball and the other franchises to come to, and fully respect that this coronavirus has got a lot to answer for. And yeah, for us as a Mavericks family, we're all just trying to pull together as much as we can, stay connected as much as we can, and I just want to say a massive thank you to all of our amazing fans, all of our volunteers, our players, and the board members and staff behind the scenes, just working tirelessly at the moment to keep things ticking over and making sure we come back bigger and better next year.
Claire Maxwell is player coach at Sirens. They were currently in fifth position. How did she take the news?
It is absolutely gutting that the 2020 season has been cancelled. We've been preparing for it since August, September last year, when we've been working extremely hard throughout pre-season, and to only take part in three games of the season is gutting. But we all know that the decision hasn't been taken lightly. It's been made in the best interest of our health and safety and for the continuing on of our sport. So right now we're just looking forward to 2021 and being able to reunite as a team moving forwards.
Wasps Mel Mansfield understood the decision and she praised her side's commitment.
And yes, today is a very sad day for players, staff and fans, and we fully support the decision with a view, of course, to getting back on court in 2021 and concentrating all our efforts on that now. As Stephen Vaughan has said, the CEO of Wasps, we have really high expectations for the future, both in the community around Wasps and for the Super League team. I'd just like to finally say that I'm so proud of the players who have stayed connected, they've stayed motivated and supportive of each other throughout this pandemic, and we are hugely grateful for the ongoing support of our wider Wasps family too. See you all in 2021, it's going to be an absolute cracker.
Surrey Storms player coach Mickey Austin knows the importance of making that 2021 season better than ever.
Some really disappointed people in our netball community given the news that has broken today around the 2020 season. But you know, for me it's 100% the right decision, and the safety of everybody involved has to be paramount. But our netball community is an amazing thing. So when the 2021 season returns, and we will return, let's focus on making that the most amazing product it could possibly be. So let's get behind our franchises and sell out venues across the board. Let's make sure that our broadcasting figures are the highest they've ever been. And to any young athlete out there, you know, do not lose motivation within this time. We're all in this together, and there are some fantastic athletes pushing out content for you to still get involved in and train alongside. So make sure you're doing as much as you can to stay involved within our community. And when we return, because we will return, it's going to be even bigger and even better. So stay safe, and we miss you guys, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
What did Stars Anita and Irvin make of the decision?
Bitterly disappointed. We've obviously worked so hard for season 2020, particularly being a new club in the Super League. But I think players and obviously staff welfare is just paramount, and totally agree with England Netball, but bitterly disappointed. And probably for some of us, we might have wanted just to wait a bit longer for the decision, but not to be. And as we said, really tough for the players that work so hard. There were plans, there were contingency plans. I think there probably was a thought that maybe we'd get through this COVID-19 situation a little bit quicker. But overall, player contracts run till sort of end of June, mid-July. It would have been a recontracting period as well. Players need 4 to 6 weeks to get themselves prepped, ready to get back onto court. So feasibility-wise, probably thinking of the autumn anyway for a return. So fingers crossed that the standalone competition in October potentially will just reignite netball again, because we've been on such a roll and it's so sad, really.
And we've got to say that even though Dragons finished 10th, they showed real signs, and even though Dragons finished 10th, they really showed signs of a new vigour and a kick in their game. So well done to all the teams in the league. As we know, netball in the UK is shown on Sky Sports. They've been doing a great job recently showing those older Super League games, and I've been really enjoying those Netball World Cup ones as well. Hannah Wilkes, Sky Sports, netball, great. How are you feeling?
Well, better for you calling me great, thank you. gutted, really. I think like we all are with the announcement that that's it. There's no more 2020 Vitality Netball Super League season. Of course, it was always a possibility, I think, given the situation with COVID-19. But as with everything that surrounded the whole pandemic, there are so many different ideas and scenarios being floated around and hypothesized. Everyone you spoke to had a different idea of what could be done, what should be done. I can only imagine a really difficult decision for England Netball. But ultimately, as they've said, you know, they're doing it with the sort of long-term vision for the game and for the clubs in mind. So yeah, gutted, because the three rounds we did have, I think we saw some great netball. We had so much excitement at the season opener, and there was just the energy level around netball coming, you know, off last year's World Cup and the series that we've had since. It really felt like we were in for a good year. I think the games we had so far reflected that. Gutted really, because, you know, we all want to see the sport we love, but ultimately these decisions have to be made, and you've got to do what's best for the health and safety and financial stability, I suppose, as well, of the clubs and everyone involved, because there are a huge amount of factors at play here that we've never been faced with before.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been easy, but obviously, given the situation, we're maybe going to look back on this season as maybe more like a quick test series, couple of games, that kind of thing, or?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I haven't really thought about, you know, how we'll reflect, because I think the 2020 season will always be the one that was cancelled, and that's the same for a lot of sports as well. It's not just netball, it's always going to have that sort of asterisk alongside it, isn't it? I think from what we did see, I think we were maybe in for a more competitive league than we'd seen previous years, in terms of less of a gap between top and bottom. I was so excited watching London Pulse. I mean, we covered two of their games sort of back to back on our Sky coverage. In fact, all three, actually. So we did them in the opening weekend, then we did them at home and at Surrey Storm as well. And there was so much excitement and energy around that team. So I would have loved to have seen what they would have, you know, gone on to do. And obviously Manchester Thunder, as it finished top of the table once again. But it's just a case of what could have been, because you can never judge a season, can you, on three rounds. It's not enough. But yeah, I think it would have been entertaining. I think it would have been tight. And yeah, it will always just be that the one that we missed out on.
The one that got away.
The one that got away. But you know, with everything going on in the world, there's, you know, so much has had to be cancelled. But if everyone involved in the sport stays healthy and well and is all ready to go when we can play again, then that's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it led me thinking as well, post-match was going to be really unusual, having to maybe keep that distance or do interviews wearing masks. To you and I, that would have been a bit of a challenge, to say the least.
Yeah, that had crossed my mind as well, because, you know, when the season was paused, you're of course optimistic that we'd have the resumption at some point, and with other sports coming back as well now, you start thinking, oh, how might I do my job? And you start to think, okay, it's going to be, you know, a mic on a big, you know, boomstick, as we call them, so it's, you can keep that distance between you. And then you think, oh, the conversation, you know, part of the post-match, the Georgian post-match is kind of you're up close and you're in the thick of it, getting the players out the circle and the rest of it. Obviously, all that would have had to have gone with social distancing. It just wouldn't have been possible. And you know, social distancing is one of the factors England Netball cited. They just don't know how long the social distancing rules are going to be in place. And with a sport where everyone touches the ball, obviously, it's, you know, it's really challenging. And it's not just the teams, it's everyone around them as well. So yeah, it would have been very difficult. I'm kind of intrigued to see other sports. I've been watching a bit of the Bundesliga German football, but obviously we've just got the coverage over here, so you haven't seen reporters or how that's working at all. So I'm quite intrigued to see, when more sports do come back, how that will work and what that will look like. It's really challenging times for everyone.
ANZ will be back. They're going to be played in closed stadium. Sky be showing them, so it's something to watch, but just not going to be the same kind of atmosphere.
Well, at this point, live sport is live sport, and I think we are all chomping at the bit to see it, really, aren't we? So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think you've seen with kind of football and with no crowd noise, just the difference of the sound of the game, the sound experience. So it'll be interesting to see how that sounds for netball. I think I quite like the idea of just being able to hear those calls being made between the players on the court just that little bit clearer, which I think is quite an intriguing prospect. So it's different, but it will give us, you know, it still gives us the sport to watch, which I think is just all anyone wants at this point, isn't it? Is just to see some sport. Yeah, it'll be different, but a lot of things are going to be different for the immediate future, I think.
I've been really enjoying the fact that you've been showing Netball World Cup games in this time.
Yes.
Have you watched a load yourself?
It's been quite fun for me, especially the ones from the earlier rounds, because we had two courts going on to start with. So I didn't see half the games, because if I was on court two, I would see snippets of what was happening on court one and vice versa. So I think one of the first games we had as a replay was an England game that I hadn't seen, because I was covering the other court. So it's been quite good in that way, because in the relentlessness of that World Cup week as well, you kind of saw a few highlights and knew the score, and then you were on to the next game because they were just so constant. Just to sit down and watch the full game, it's been really, really enjoyable. And I find myself as well, and it's not just with the netball, it's with any sport that's being replayed, even if you know the outcome, you still get into it. You kind of forget that it's not live, and that sort of passion and excitement, especially if it's a nail biter and if it's, you know, down the wire or it goes to penalties or something, you really get drawn into it. So I think I've been really, really enjoying it. And it's, for me, I'll never stop wanting to relive the World Cup from last year, because it was just brilliant. And it's all such a blur in my memory that seeing it physically and watching it again with a bit of distance is actually really enjoyable, because there's stuff I remember happening sort of behind the scenes or in post-match that you maybe don't see, and then vice versa, there's stuff that, because I was off doing that, I didn't necessarily see happen on court. So yeah, it's really enjoyable to re-watch it and relive it. And also, it feels quite strange when you can see that many people in a confined space.
Yeah, I know.
It feels quite alien already.
The watch-along the other day was a good success as well, with people like Erin and Serena as well. Did you catch that? How well did that do figure-wise? Any idea?
Yeah, I don't know on the figures, but I know it had a really positive reaction and everyone involved was really happy. We had really good buy-in as well from the players that got involved. You know, likes of Serena saying, you know, I think it was the first time she'd watched it back and all the rest of it. Yeah, which was quite surprising, I think. But yeah, and again, that's fun to do because that's the upside of, if you can call it an upside, it's the one good thing in a way, or one of the very few benefits that have come out of the situation, is that all the athletes, all the players, everyone is in the same position, and that is everyone is pretty much at home all the time. So you can get all those voices together in one program and in a way that usually would be really, really difficult and really challenging. And you get, I think, because people are at home and they're more relaxed as well, people are quite open. So I think it gave really good insight. And yeah, it was really entertaining to watch, I think, and nice to relive it as well. We're not just watching the replay on your own in your living room, but with other people watching it as well. It felt like quite a social experience. Yeah, really enjoyed that.
And Tamsin held it together well when the line went down from Di's house, so kudos to her as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know Tamsin's brilliant, but she just proved it once again. That's the sort of risk and the downside, isn't it, with all these things. But no, everyone stayed calm. Tamsin did a beautiful job, and then Di was back on it. That's the way we work at the
Yay.
Moment.
Well, the good thing is Sky is supporting the game. In the meantime, there's more classic games on demand, starting the show of the ANZ in the next couple of days as well, just until 2021 gets back up and running, really.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited that we will be showing the ANZ. We'll bring as much of it as we can, really. So it'll be great to have some live netball back on our screens. And yeah, of course, all the archive is still there as well. Don't forget, all the Netball World Cup is still on YouTube. So if there's nothing even on your TV at that moment, but you need netball fix, you can go to Sky Sports YouTube page and the Netball World Cup is all still there. So yeah, still stuff to keep us busy and keep us ticking over.
Next, Sasha and Zara are going to have a look in depth at what this means next and the wider impact.
Life can be a bit of a handful.
But what do you do?
Let go?
Or grab on to everything it has to offer?
Ask yourself, do you back down when things get tough?
Or confront them, breasts on?
Do you give up or give it hell?
Do you ignore your amazing boobs or fearlessly check them regularly?
We thought so.
This is Grabbin' Life by the Boobs.
So grab regularly and check out any changes.
It could save your life.
Search Copperfield. Grab Life.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game.
I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements.
After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom. That's why I love the Wave Stealth.
That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
It's the Netball Show with Mizuno.
I'm Sasha Shipway and I'm joined by Zara Buck. By far the biggest news we've heard for a while came out yesterday, and that was the decision to cancel the 2020 Super League season in the UK, meaning no full domestic netball season will take place this year. Zara, firstly, what did you make of the news?
Hi, Sasha. Yeah, big news, wasn't it? I mean, I think that a decision's been made, and I think firstly that's the most important thing. Teams and staff and fans across the country now have a decision. They have clarity as to what they're going to expect. And yeah, it's obviously sad news for everyone, but I think it was, as everyone rightly also says, it was the right thing to do for the kind of longevity of the Super League, and for first and foremost the health and safety of the players. So I'm in agreement with most people that it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I feel a bit of both, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm sort of assessing what everyone is saying. You know, I think obviously you have got to put the health and safety of everybody first, but there are some people particularly high up, like Debbie Hallis from Manchester Thunder, saying that they made the decision too early, and Karen Grieg, their head coach, is also saying that. So it's really interesting trying to see that, and obviously not everyone was going to be happy about this decision, because people wanted to see netball, people wanted to play netball, especially when the players had such a long pre-season. Pre-season obviously is always long for players, and then they were ready and then they played three rounds and then this happened. It's just one of those incredibly unfortunate things. But you know, you see the leagues in Australia and New Zealand looking like they're about to take off. But obviously the UK is in a completely different situation. It's in a different boat in terms of the pandemic and how it's played out over there. But I can't help but think about the long-term impact this could have on the sport. And, you know, there's been a lot going around about people saying that women's sport is being particularly hard hit by the pandemic. And Thunder have said that they could lose up to £200,000 from the cancellation. So, you know, the impact is really going to be felt.
Yeah, no, I mean, when we have record attendances for the first day of the Super League, and we saw how exciting this particular season was, and you know, sold out venues, and it was all sort of pushing and leading to kind of this sport maybe becoming professional, and then the pandemic happened. So it is definitely a big question, and what will netball look like, you know, this year, next year? And Fran Connolly of England Netball has said the same, that, you know, we won't really know the impact that coronavirus has had on netball in England and in the UK until, you know, actually after the grand final and in the years to come. It's probably going to be taking a little while to sort of adjust and reassess. But I think that everyone's come together online, and, you know, there's that real kind of family camaraderie, and I think that it's a really, really positive thing. And I think we've got to just look towards next year and almost sort of putting a, you know, a line under this season. Yeah, we only had, you know, a handful of games, but I just think we need to keep pushing that momentum on. I think we need to keep doing what we're all doing and talking about it and staying connected, because, you know, I think the main thing about this virus is adaptability, and we've all shown, a lot of people have shown that they can be adaptable, and, you know, that's such a resilient trait. And I just think that we need to kind of reset the goalposts, no pun intended, and look towards the future, because we've seen that, you know, mass gatherings and fans, it's just not going to work in the UK. We're not ready. It's still, you know, this virus is still present. So yeah, let's look towards the next season. But as you say, yeah, there's varied reaction, but I think on the most part, people are staying positive and thinking that it is the right thing to do. But yeah, there's lots of ifs and buts. It's so complex, isn't it, Sasha?
It's so complex. And I think that part of that is because most Super League netball matches are played in public venues. So there's just so many, you know, it's like Tetris. There are so many pieces that would have to come together to enable this to happen. And, you know, you look at New Zealand, they've decided that for their league to continue, it's going to be played in one central venue without a crowd. And perhaps England could have done that. But, you know, obviously, Fran Connolly, the England Netball CEO, has, you know, they've all assessed this, and they said that logistically it's not possible to do that, or not sustainable to have it running in any way this year. So I think you're right. I think we have got to look forward positively and hope that next year will be bigger, better. Hope that there'll be more of a thirst for it, especially after its absence this year. And I mean, England Netball have suggested that there could be some kind of short form event in the autumn. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that would be interesting if they can put something together for that. I mean, what that will look like, I'm not sure, but I really think that would be exciting for the fans. But I think it will just give all the players and the staff something to work towards, because during this pandemic over the last couple of months, we know that the teams have been in training, you know, virtually over Zoom and different sort of platforms. We know that they've been keeping up their S&C, but they've been working towards kind of, well, what? They weren't sure whether the league was going to resume. They weren't sure what netball was going to look like. So that's quite hard, I think, mentally, because you're not sure what you're working towards. And now teams have got clarity. Everyone knows where we stand. So I think if we had a netball event in the autumn, I just think that that's just something to really look forward to if everyone can pull it off. And again, it'll be it'll be a lot of logistics, and I know they've been working out a lot of the logistics over the last sort of however many months it's been. I think if they can pull something off, I think that would be really, really exciting for everyone. It'd be a great thing to watch. We all want that, don't we?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, and, you know, you're so right. I mean, it's for us as people who, as journalists, people who analyse the sport, and, you know, we play not a Super League level, but I just can't imagine what it must be like for the players. Like, you know, you work so hard to get a contract, you get a contract, then you train, mm-hmm. then it's called off. And like, you know, they have been in limbo for quite a while, and it must just be so challenging. And then you think of the players that have moved to new franchises for this season, maybe in their head, for some players, this could have been the time where they were thinking, okay, I'm just going to try 1 year at this franchise and see what happens. And, you know, it's just, it's going to change so, so much. And it's really, really interesting to think about it. And yeah, I think if we have some kind of event, whatever that may be, in the autumn, it will be fantastic. Mm. And especially because netball has grown bigger and bigger, you know, it's been televised not only on Sky Sports but BBC. So if it could be something that was widely televised, then that in itself would be fantastic. And you never know, we could end up gaining new fans, new followers. So yeah, I'm sure we'd all welcome that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. Let's just look forward. I think another thing as well that definitely played a part within making this decision to cancel the league is that 4 weeks of pre-season, of that prep, that needed to come into play somehow. So I think that's a massive part for players. It wouldn't have been possible to have just said, right, okay, let's start play again without them coming together in some way, and what that would have looked like. I mean, we know we've seen like the Premier League, there's training, but they've got to meet certain guidelines, and it's so complicated. But yeah, I think for injuries and all those kinds of things, a pre-season is highly, highly necessary. So that's just another thing that I really did think was important.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that England Netball have, along with the statement they released yesterday, they said that, you know, players will have to have that 4 week training period. So when whatever happens in the autumn, we should have some kind of forewarning of it. But I mean, on top of that, it's not like there's going to be no netball to watch. Like, there will be netball. You can watch, you know, replays have been on, which is fantastic. There are loads of games on YouTube. Yeah. Sky Sports have made available. So if people are desperate to watch a match, then go back and relive one of many incredible matches that are there. But on top of that, the league in Australia, the Super Netball League, looks like it's about to be back up and running at some point, especially now that the five players, including Nat Haythornthwaite, England player, and another England player, Leila Guskov, have been given special permission to fly back to Australia to play in that league. So that league will be kicking off, and it probably won't look anything really like we've been expecting, but it's going to be netball to watch, and it will be fantastic. And you know, you can look at it in another way, which is that players have had more time than ever before to train. So maybe it will be more competitive and more challenging and more exciting to watch. And the same for the ANZ Premiership in New Zealand as well. So there's still definitely netball to watch.
Yeah, it will be interesting really to, like, looking at it from that point of view. You know, we're all going through this, everyone around the world, in different parts of the world, you know, dealing with it in different ways. You know, will we see something different within the play, you know, that kind of that hunger? It'll be quite interesting to see how the sport will look. I don't know whether that will have any impact or any effect on the way people play, but I just feel like this is a massive shift. Yeah, what will this do to the way we maybe engage with sport in the future, or even like the players, how will they play? And it's just a tiny aspect, but is it maybe just a tiny aspect? I don't know.
I don't know either, but it's going to be so exciting. I mean, I guess that's it. Both of us just can't wait to see exactly what's going to happen. And yes, we're waiting longer than we'd hoped, but it is what it is. It's, you know, this time is completely unprecedented. No one other than Bill Gates and The Simpsons predicted that this is going to happen. So there you go. It is what it is.
Simpsons did. But what about the state of women's sport? Then you touched on that earlier on. What do you think this will do to women's sport? And how do we maybe make sure that it's still at the forefront?
I don't know. I think I do think women's sport will be impacted in a greater way than men's sport, purely because they have less financial backing. So Debbie Hallis, she did an interview for The Telegraph, and she, and I quote her, "We're not like a Premier League football club that can afford to buy testing kits to test everybody. We don't have our own grounds. We rely on public sports centres for training and public venues for our games. That's what was against us." So, you know, there's a few things that she mentioned, even within that quote itself, which are things I hadn't previously thought about. You know, the venue, the fact that money can buy you so much more, can buy you greater access to, you know, kind of safety things and all that sort of stuff. So,
yeah. I
do feel like women's sport is disadvantaged because, and especially netball, because it doesn't have the funding that the Premier League has, which galls me every time I think about it, because these women are so talented and it's such an incredible sport. And it annoys me so much that the BBC have put out, you know, this breaking news headline about netball, the Super League being cancelled, and you get trolled by a bunch of men who say, well, who cares, the six netball fans. It's really frustrating and that should not be focused on at all. But women's sport is on the back foot, unfortunately, and I feel like that is going to play out during the pandemic, and I wish so much that it didn't, but I really do think that that is what will happen. And I just think that the netball family have so much passion and will try so hard to get it back up and running in a really enthralling way next year, and I think it will be bigger and better than ever. But, you know, I think it's just a case of people sticking together in the netball family, supporting each other and just hoping that we sell out more crowds, more seats next season, and, you know, whenever the next matches actually take place, where crowds are allowed and more people watch and engage and that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think maybe we could find a new fan base even and try and reach out to those pockets of people that maybe have just started playing, were playing netball at school and then had stopped. Maybe their parents had decided to buy them a goalpost and put it up in their garden, and they started to practice, and then they've gone online and they've discovered, you know, their local team, or yeah, maybe one of the Super League teams. And I know that, like, on solo sessions, for example, I don't know if you've had a go at any of the solo sessions, but I did one with Joe Tripp, and then there was lots of young people kind of commenting and writing, "Oh, what team do you play for? Oh, I really love what you're doing here." And I think that they're reaching out to people through social media platforms and maybe getting people that might not have played or watched netball before, and now they're kind of bringing in new fans through that online space. So who knows? Let's hope that we get a bigger fan base.
Yeah, well said. And I think that, you know, we have got to be more creative in the way that we do things, and it's obviously not in traditional ways, and social media and working online will play a huge part in that. You know, there's like the solo sessions are fantastic. London Pulse are doing their own sort of pathway classes. There are things in Australia like NetFit Netball, like they're doing stuff and opening it up to everybody for free so that more people can join in during the lockdown. And it is really, really interesting to see this happening, and let's hope that, as we've said before, let's just hope it does something to grow the sport.
Definitely. I like what you said about the London Pulse, that new international series where they're trying to reach out to different people who are maybe playing netball in different countries. Definitely a good point, Sash.
That's it from this week's Netball Show. Thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to get in touch, we're online at The Netball Show. Do share this episode if you enjoyed it, and thanks again.
I will be doing my very best each day to get the best out of those around me, and I take great pride in leading this country.
One minute, I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is it. Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
It was a real honour to be asked to be assistant coach for Sirens. It's something I take very, very seriously, and I really hope that I can have a big impact.
I'd like to think that I'm a vital part of this team, but I'm not the team, and I understand that.
A huge thank you to The Netball Show. You really have helped England Netball take our message to new audiences.